Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 329. As this week, we bring you the first hour of NWA Starrcade 1989. Hope you're enjoying your holiday season. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. If you've been absent the past few months, you may not know that Jim Valley has been dealing with Wagner's vasculitis, I believe it's called, and he has been in the hospital for, about 4 months now. He is hopefully on his last leg of his journey, going through rehab, relearning how to walk, getting ready to go home. Please feel free to donate to him, gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-fundraiser, or follow the many links on the internet about it. In the meantime, filling in for Jim is our good friend and legendary announcer and ring announcer, Brett Wolverton. Brett, welcome back. Are you ready to hop in the Wayback Machine, return to 1989, and have your future shocked?
I'm looking forward to this. You know, I mentioned before we went on that I've not seen the show in a long time, so it's almost like going into it fresh. And I just want to say, you know, in regards to Jim Valley, please tell me you saw the video that somebody made of him walking down the hallway to Goldberg's theme.
Go to at Jim Valley if you want to see that. Yes, somebody took the footage from rehab of Jim Valley walking and sent it to the Goldberg music, and it's every bit as fantastic as you would hope. So
it is, and I know Jim loved every bit of that.
Yes, well, he did. He was very grateful and very thankful for that. And we hope everybody will get to. We hope all of us will be reunited with family this time next year, and have an even bigger holiday than we are having right now. Let's see. Oh, yes. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. That's how you can get, that's how you can support us. Get every episode of the show, including the ones held behind a paywall. Get all of our shows before they air in podcast land, and get all of them ad-free, and get some bonus material right now. All the episodes are up. We're putting up something I did with Scott Pastner last week, a bonus match, which was actually Ken Shamrock and Vader. And, you know, looking forward to having as many of you as we can fit in for the new year. Hopefully the big draw, getting both of us back together, will happen. We're back on the charts in Australia this week, so I want to thank Scott for that. And we're going to continue trying to get ourselves insinuated into more corners of the galaxy. Okay. This show happened on Wednesday, December 13th, 1989. Yes, that's right. Starrcade took place on a Wednesday, December 13th. Why? No idea. The show started at 7 p.m. Eastern. Why? No idea. But the 7th annual Starrcade, Brett, drew a whopping 6,000 fans to the Omni. Because of rush hour traffic in Atlanta, most of them arrived after the show began.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's...
I can believe that, having driven through Atlanta at any point in the day.
and if you don't believe me, you can watch the people arrive during the show. I mean, that I remember pretty well. Let's see. What's going on in wrestling on that date? Well, the WWF is holding a taping of WWF Superstars down in Huntsville, Alabama, where Roll Tide. They taped three episodes of Superstars. The first episode of Superstars, taped for December 30th, sees Demolition dropped the WWF tag team titles to the Colossal Connection of Andre the Giant and Haku. So that's enough newsworthy stuff right there. On the January 6th episode, it's headlined with Brutus Beefcake beating George South and then getting into a confrontation with Rick Martel. And, of course, the January 13th episode of Superstars is headlined by Tito Santana beating Iron Mike Sharp.
Pat, did you ever go to one of those marathon TV
tapings? Oh, yes. I went to one in Augusta. The one right
I went to a wrestling challenge taping right after SummerSlam in Michigan in 93.
Ah.
Didn't realize my first WWF event would have 22 matches on it.
Well, but it definitely made an impression. Also on that taping, they taped the New Year's Day episode of Primetime for 1990, headlined by the Hart Foundation defeating the Bolsheviks by disqualification. Quite an event. Okay. The previous show for the NWA World Championship Wrestling was their Monday night TV taping in Raleigh, North Carolina, on the 11th, attendance not given. If you went to that show, the highlight was Brian Pillman pinning Cactus Jack, based on what I saw in the results. They also had a dark main event of Ric Flair and Sting against Lex Luger and the Great Muta. I'm guessing, based on the other finishes from that era, that match didn't really have a clean finish.
Probably not.
Just a hunch. The previous show from the AWA was in Toronto on Wednesday, December the 6th, where Candy Devine defeated Judy Martin to capture the AWA women's title. And in a heavily hyped confrontation, it was AWA champion Larry Zbyszko defeating challenger Sergeant Slaughter by disqualification. Obviously, such a huge show drew a record crowd of 200 people.
Oof,
the AWA, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not the best times for the AWA.
Now, this is very near the end for the AWA. Meanwhile, Monday night, the usual Monday night show in Memphis for the CWA at the Mid-South Coliseum. Quite the big tag team semi-main event. The Master of Pain and the Soul Taker defeat Bill Dundee and Tony Anthony. Quick guess who if you don't know who the Master of Pain and the Soul Taker are, hint, they're still friends to this day.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that's Undertaker and Godfather, isn't it?
That is correct, sir. Very nicely done. And in the main event, of course, it was Jerry Lawler beating Ricky Morton, because this is still Memphis, after all. All right, and the previous Friday night, USWA in Dallas. The USWA is in the process of being bought out by Jerry Jarrett. So on that show, it was the USWA Tag Team Champions of Robert Fuller and Brian Lee defeating Jeff Jarrett and Matt Bourne. And in the main event, it was Kevin Bon Eric beating P.Y. Chu by disqualification. I guess I don't really have anything to add to that, Brett.
P.Y. Chu is one of those that I've always read about, but I've never actually seen. So I may have to hit YouTube in my free time this week and check him out.
It's not really anything you have to rush to do, though. Let's see. Meanwhile, the news of the week presented by the Wrestling Observer, Ric Flair is about to be pushed out as booker of WCW following Starrcade. Now, just by way of perspective on this, Flair is the fifth booker for WCW in 1989. That's how crazy of a year it was. If you want details, I know the Jim Cornette timeline from Kayfabe Commentaries of 1989 is out, whatever you say about Jim, he remembers every stupid thing that Jim Herd ever did in his life, and is anxious to share them with you. So,
and has it written down. Kind of an inspiration on why I take the detailed notes I do with the shows that I work on.
He kept
maybe not necessarily how many fans and what the gate was, but at least bare minimum the results and maybe one or two stories that stood out from the show.
Mm-hmm. More details have surfaced about Tully Blanchard's situation. He decided to jump back to the NWA. Then WWF fired him for trying to recruit other wrestlers to go back to him with the NWA. But fortunately for them, or unfortunately for Tully failed a drug test, testing positive for cocaine. So they actually had something else they could fire him for. And upon learning that Tully Blanchard had tested positive for cocaine, Jim Herd decided we don't need him. So, and the word out is that Tully Blanchard is going to go to work in a marketing capacity for Coca-Cola. So, yes, there's as many Coke jokes as you can possibly throw in there. Anyway, Tully's back in the business.
Should have applied for Pepsi at that point.
Yeah, you would think so. And also, what the news Meltzer and a lot of people are excited about, New Japan, Antonio Inoki planning a big Tokyo Dome show for February, where the IWGP, NWA, and AWA titles are all scheduled to be defended. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, because there was a falling out between the NWA and New Japan. They were kind of upset with the way one of their wrestlers was treated while he was in the NWA. And we'll have more on that as the next three shows develop. When the show did happen in February, 53,000 were on hand. A main event of Inoki and Sakaguchi defeating Shinya Hashimoto and Masachono. But there you go. But yeah, Vader did defend the IWGP title on the show against Stan Hansen. That might have drawn a few people too.
A few. They had some stiff, brutal matches in that time.
Yeah, they. That's why Vader and Stan Hansen would both end up in WCW later in 1990. Okay, so I'm here with my good friend Shane Chattos, and I get to explain to Shane how Patreon works if you sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Shane, you know that we've been doing this show for 6 years now and change. So you probably want, and the show is there for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and basically and wherever your finer podcasts are aired. So you're probably wondering, what could a patron offer me? Well, I'll tell you what. How about ad-free episodes of the show before the show comes out for everybody else? I think that's a good start.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, that we had a bunch of shows that we did on Pro Wrestling Torch that were locked behind the paywall. And thanks to a deal we made, you get access on our Patreon to all the shows. All 324 episodes, including
all
stuff.
All 324?
All 324 episodes, including Jim and I doing the 92 Rumble and, the Wrestling Classic, which is probably one of our most enjoyed episode. WrestleMania's 16 through 20, all that stuff is in there. The best part is it's relatively inexpensive, $4.50 a month on Patreon, and you get all of that. $10 a month is our Black Scorpion tier. You get all of that plus the bonus matches and bonus shows that we do. And I can point out, Shane, that no matter which option you choose, you'll get every time that Shane Shadows has guest hosted Way Back Playback.
Wow. All that for $4.50?
I know, that's a heck of an entertainment deal for $4.50. And of course,
tremendous.
That's what I always say, and that's what Bob Keller always says too. And he would definitely tell you to check it out, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Your source for all of your Way Back Playback needs. Right now, we're going to go to the actual show. I am at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. It's under the WCW pay-per-view Starrcade 89. Brett, same place?
Yep, I'm at all zeros.
All right, everybody, we are going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, it's time. This is the high-tech graphics you had in 1989. They're the Skyscrapers, the Steiners, Doom, and the Road Warriors. They're set to be in the Iron Team competition, except one of these teams will not belong there. And the top four singles wrestlers in WCW at the time, Sting, Lex Luger, Ric Flair, and the Great Muta. That's how you get Starrcade 89 Future Shock. And the National Guard and the Color Guard is in the ring. All right. Gary Capetta is wearing a white tux.
That's one thing I've never tried as an announcer, is to wear the white tuxedo.
I can understand. As I've done ring announcing before, I completely have never done that. I did wear a seersucker suit once, but that's an entirely different story.
There are so many unique suits. Like, I've always been a fan of Ted DiBiase's tuxedos.
Oh, yeah.
That he used to wear. But I'm like, I could never get away with that.
No. And, all right. There's the pre-recorded version of the National Anthem. And I mean, I like the idea of giving the event a sporting feel, but, you know, it's kind of hard to do at indie shows, especially in the Mid-Atlantic area where, you'll get some smart ass who immediately after the anthem ends yells play ball or something right. Like that.
I did a show one time and we had somebody sing the National Anthem.
Wow.
And about halfway through, they forgot the lyrics.
Oh,
and I was just standing there in the ring as it was veering off course. And I said, I have to look at that flag because if I look at anything else, I'm going to start laughing.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Yeah, there are people in here, but like I said, there only ends up being 6,000. You can see empty seats facing the camera, which is
right there in the bottom right corner. There's at least 5 empty seats in the first row.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of these people are stuck in traffic. And a lot of these people are wondering why you'd hold a major show on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. All right, but so this is the Iron Man and Iron Team concept. The top four wrestlers and the top four tag teams are on this show, and they are competing in separate round-robin tournaments. So therefore, there are going to be 6 single matches and 6 tag matches. What's on the line is pretty much absolutely nothing. Except that if you beat the singles champ or you beat the tag champ, you're probably going to get a title shot. So Terry Funk is there to help Jim Ross. He's going to be commentator for the singles matches since he is wrestled Sting and Flair and teamed with Muda and all that crap. And Jim Cornette is there to call the tag matches because for some reason the Midnight Express is not on Starrcade. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Jim Cornette hated Jim Herd and Jim Herd hated Jim Cornette. Now, here's the point system. You get 20 points for a pinfall or submission, 15 for a countout, 10 for disqualification. Each side gets 5 points for a draw. Now, you're saying that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, it doesn't, but they needed to do it.
But it's WCW, so don't...
It's WCW. Don't overthink it. They didn't. At least on this one occasion, everybody knows the rules. The rules don't make sense, but the announcers know them, and Gary Capetta knows them, and the refs know them. All right. The Team of Doom is coming out first for the opening match in the Iron Team tournament. They're accompanied by... Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, we're going to see all the teams on the stage at the same time? This doesn't seem like a bad idea or anything, Brett.
No, I think it's a great showcase. I've seen it done a lot in Japan. But it's a nice visual, too, with all the different lighting rigs and everything.
Yeah. But the only problem is, well, there's two problems here. Okay, the Skyscrapers out of the tournament. I believe it was Sid Vicious who was injured.
I believe so.
Yeah. So they were replaced by the new Wild Samoans. They're new because Samu's not there. It's Fatu and Tama, or the Tonga Kid, or as he's known here, the Samoan Savage. Yeah, these are the, yeah. The Samoans were considered the best fit after losing the Skyscrapers, and they're good enough. Definitely. That's not the problem. The other problem is, with as much as the Steiners and Doom hated each other, you're wondering why one of these teams doesn't jump the other while they're standing on stage. And you're also glad that WCW's pyro department, such as it was, didn't injure anybody.
So especially with Doom that close to it wearing robes like that.
Yeah. It was also at this time that somebody from Bob Seger's team called WCW and asked if they could please, please not use Bob Seger's theme song for their wrestling show to introduce Doom. So I think I don't know if this is the music that aired or not. This is the music Doom would use for all of 1990 after Teddy Long took over the team. That is Woman, that is Nitron the Bodyguard, and that is Doom 1 and Doom 2. You already know, because you're a wrestling fan, you already know that that's Ron Simmons and Butch Reed under the masks.
I think anybody with eyes at that point knew it was those two.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because I've gone over all this before. I believe they were still playing the Steiners out to Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses at this time, although I may be mistaken. But Doom and the Steiners are going to open, and the Doom did defeat the Steiners at Halloween Havoc, so there's, yeah. So it's a hot match to start the show, and I think that's part of the idea of this Starrcade is, okay, all these matches are going to be bangers, because there's, you know, all of them are high-level matches. You don't have Ranger Ross coming out here to take on El Cubano.
Right. There's nothing that you would see on Worldwide or the Saturday Night Show.
Right. Okay, so, Jim Cornette's referencing what happened to Sid Vicious, which one would think they could have done before the introductions, but yeah, look at all the red seating there.
God, it looks like a game of Guess Who, and we've almost figured out which guy they are.
All right. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Okay.
You would never see that many empty chairs today.
No. No, you wouldn't. Well, at least you hope not. I mean, good grief.
They would have moved people into those spots at least even temporarily.
If they couldn't have enough people, they'd have moved the chairs. All right. Doom number one is here. At least Jim Ross isn't claiming it's impossible to tell them apart, so... That looks like referee Mike Adkins with the sweet, sweet mullet.
And Bill Apter at ringside taking pictures.
Right. The last pay-per-view of the last full-length pay-per-view of the 80s. All matches, by the way, have a 15-minute time limit, because that's so that they can get everything onto the show. All right. Okay. Because, you know, I mean, winning gets you more points than finishing in a draw. All right, so, yep, people are going to trickle in here. We promise. All right. Oh. And there we go. Now, the Steiners were put together in, I want to say, like May or June 89 in WCW. And we're at the point where it's obvious that they're going to be taking it. Well, not only are they the champions, but they're going to be the team. You know, we've moved past the Road Warriors, and the Steiners are obviously going to be set up as the babyface tag team for the main one for the company.
The Steiners were one of my first favorites when I got into wrestling in 91. I think it helped because I grew up near Saginaw, Michigan, which wasn't far from where they were in Bay City.
Right. And they, and I mean, they're pretty identifiable. They come out with the, you know, Michigan letter jackets, and yep. You know where they're from, you know whose side they're on. Oh, goodness. That's quite the cap that guy had on. Okay. All right, get out of the ring, yes. Okay. Now, the good news is that both of these big physical teams, you know, they can work together, and nobody's gonna cry if there's an actual, you know, if they get a stiff shot here and there.
They'll just fire back with one of their own.
Yeah, they fit together well, which is good, because this feud goes a long time. Yep. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Now I'm trying to. Okay, I'm looking up Sid's injury. Let's see.
I want to say it was his lung, wasn't it?
Let's see. Yeah, broken rib and a punctured lung. Yes, that's right. Suffered at the Clash Champions against the Steiners. Well. Okay, but let's see. Well, I think by the time Sid came back, though, the skyscrapers were done, so that they didn't really make much of that, as much as they should have.
They had the one random match at Starrcade 90.
Yeah, the skyscrapers did, yeah. Against, it was a Big Cat and the Night Stalker, I think. But, yeah. Yep, not the, a quick match. Very much so. It was the Big Cat and the Motor City Madman. Oh, good grief. Yeah, I don't remember that being a Matt Classic for some reason.
I think we probably just spent more time talking about it than the match actually was.
Right. Yes. Okay, yeah, so the first WCW, the first place to team Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner. Scott was relatively new to the ring. Rick had been there. Yeah, you know, Rick had been in wrestling for a few years. I mean, Scott is, from the moment he arrived, Scott was impressive. And it's like, why? And people were like, why didn't somebody pick up on this guy sooner? And it's obvious that he and this is still the point where Rick and Scott were having fun, you know, teaming together.
I was just gonna say, Rick Steiner looks like he's having a ball in there.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I want to say, 91. Yeah, they wanted to try them out separately as singles wrestlers, and both the Steiner brothers are like, no, we'd rather be a tag team. Fortunately, they changed their mind several years later, as we discussed during Fall Brawl, during our last set of shows for Fall Brawl 98. They went in different directions. That's right. Oh, yeah. In, let's see, in a development that's going to take place somewhere along here, woman, you know, who betrayed Rick Steiner, pretend to be his girlfriend. It was an evil plot by Kevin Sullivan. Rick Steiner, woman has an admirer, and of course it's going to be Norman the Lunatic dressed in a Santa suit. Oh, there we go. There's Nitron. Oh, boy.
Earning his paycheck.
That Nitron, he's going to be big in the future of this industry. Or not. Nitron is Tyler Mane. Tyler Mane is 23 at this point. He worked a few more years for WCW and elsewhere, and then became a movie star, and still is, I think.
I believe so.
Last I heard, he was Michael Myers. Not the Austin Powers version, folks. The horror movie version. Oh.
Always like that power slam.
That's a good one. All right. I guess they're supposed to be more intimidating in the masks. Other than just, you know, wanting to protect that it's, you know, wanting to pretend it's not Ron Simmons or Butch Reed, I'm not sure I understand the, I'm not sure I understood the point of the masks. And I think somebody in WCW agreed with me, because almost as soon as they got the masks off, they started improving their one loss record and, you know, being treated more seriously. All right, so yeah, Cornette is pointing out that, you know, what, no matter what happens, both these teams have to wrestle two more times, which is kind of obvious. And I don't know how to put it, but this is one of those cards that sounds, you know, on paper, it sounds wonderful. All you know, you get to see all the top guys match up with each other. It creates a booking headache or two that you'll notice during the show. Plus, you know, after, say, the Steiner brothers come out for the third time, the crowd's not going to, is not going to be as enthusiastic as they were in the top of the show.
Yeah, you've seen just about everything that can be done.
All right. And I mean, we'll discuss the reviews of the show, you know, when we get closer to the end of it. The matches were by and large well reviewed. I mean, you know, nobody was complaining. I mean, there were one or two not good matches out of 12, which is very good for a pay-per-view in 1989. The match quality was not the issue here. It was just sort of the whole concept thing. Plus, this isn't a random pay-per-view that they took and made into a tournament show. This is Starrcade. This is supposed to be your big deal.
Yeah, this was the start of Starrcade just having random concepts. Cause the following year, you had the Pat O'Connor Tag Tournament, and you had two Battle Bowls.
Right. And, and then 93, we got back towards, you know, more straight up wrestling. But that lasted, what, a couple of years?
Right to the end, I think. I take that back. I think it was 95 they did the World Cup.
Yeah, 95. A show that we haven't covered, by the way. This show was Scott Pasner's suggestion, winning the poll. And I know Ken Banks had wanted to see it. He's a frequent guest host and sponsor of ours. And, somehow won the poll. In fact, the guy who nominated No Holds Barred said that he wanted to see this. So here we are. Oh. Mm. All right. But right now the crowd's up. It's a good way to start the show. Sending your champs out there.
Your champs and probably one of the more popular teams at the time.
Yeah. Okay. We're heading towards the 15-minute time limit, as Gary Capetta is explaining.
I'm finding myself getting distracted by the cameramen at ringside.
Yeah, well,
not just the photographers, but the video guys too.
Well, there's this one guy who's just decided I'm going to stand next to woman, to Nancy, to Nancy, Nancy Sullivan. Yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll point the camera at her every so often. Yeah, there's people being shown to their seats here. There we go.
Maybe it's because I'm so used to WWE having everybody in like all black that seeing these guys in street clothes is just distracting.
Right. Yeah, somebody's got his warm up jacket on, or you know, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the one next to woman are now facing out on the floor next to Aptor is in a tracksuit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, when did Super Dave become a cameraman? It's really kind of. Although that would have been a good gimmick. Surprised nobody came up with that. Okay, here we go, and oh no, double teaming.
Who needs rules?
Rules? Not WCW. We don't have rules. Oh no, a trip by Nitron. No. Oh my goodness. You know, Nitron took the clothesline and went down. His sunglasses remained on. I gotta point that out. That's very impressive.
That is impressive.
Now we're brawling on the floor. All right. Yep, starting to fill. Crowd starting to fill up. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, Rick Steiner made it back into the ring, and the Steiners win by countout. Okay, that's wonderful. What's that, 10 points? 10 points for the Steiners. All right. And Jim Cornette points out that woman is irate, and this will be a theme, by the way. Not to give too much away. You know, Doom number one just sitting there saying, "Damn." Yep. Okay, so let's follow the action, Brett.
A lot of fighting out on the floor. And I just noticed when they took that shot, how much room there is between the front row and the guardrails compared to what you see now where they're...
I like that, though.
Right, leaning over it.
Give them a little extra room. All right, let's meet the participants in the Iron Man tournament. Oh, they all have their own screens here. This is the little curtains. All right. Okay, so there's your World TV Champion, the Great Muta with Gary Hart. Hey. Okay. Very nice. Yeah, it'd be nicer if they had the camera, like if they went to the camera that's like up on. There we go. That shot.
I was gonna say they couldn't have got him up on the guard or up on the entranceway.
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right, the winner of the Most Popular Wrestler Award in WCW for 1989, this is Sting. Okay. Hi. How you doing, Sting?
They couldn't lift those curtains any slower, could they?
No, they really couldn't.
Even Sting's looking up like, Lord, it's still moving.
Okay, let's see how quickly they handle Lex Luger's curtain. There's your U.S. champion. Very slowly. Bye. There I am. Okay. Right. And finally, the six-time NWA World Champion. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Okay. Oh, I'd like to point out at this time that we discussed this briefly with Tully Blanchard. The worst-kept secret in pro wrestling right now is that the Horsemen are coming back together in 1990. I say that because they've already, at the Raleigh tapings and at the taping before that, they've already had Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson teaming together and, you know, and hanging out with Ric Flair. So, you know something, you know this is already going to happen. It's not a surprise. All right. Okay, time for the opening singles match, and there's Sting. And 31 years later, sure enough, Sting is still in the business. The rat tail, that's a very 80s, Brett.
Yeah, that is long gone.
Yes. And we're all grateful for that. Oh, and here we go, Lex Luger.
Trying to gracefully run down the scaffold ramp.
Yeah. As only he can. Okay, and here we are. Sting and Luger, obviously non-title. The two guys who are supposed, you know, the future of the business, as Jim Ross will say many times, as apparently Jim heard and he was saying, you know, and other people in WCW were saying at this time. Yeah. And almost at this point, almost becoming a perennial United States champion.
Yeah, at that time period, he was to the U.S. title what Arn was to the TV title. Hmm. Just always seemed to be right there with it.
All right. Okay. Okay, up. Oh. Fans are happy. Kids are happy to see Sting. And I guess to a lesser extent, Luger. All right.
That's one thing that's kind of a lost art in wrestling is seeing somebody interact with the crowd like that.
Yeah.
You know, here's somebody, you suck, and they try to go out after them.
Yep.
It's such a television product now that
right. Nobody does that anymore. No.
There.
Well, you can't play to the crowd when there's no crowd, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, that is a lost art. It is kind of ironic that Luger had to, you know, sort of jog to the ring there because, you know, we're running low on time. Once the match starts, let's stall. Well.
We got 15 minutes to eat up.
Yeah. Psychology. Okay. Okay. And this is, I mean, you know, Luger with the neon green tights, very much vintage, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, this is proof that the 90s are on their way.
Oh, there we go. Oh, nice one. Well, I mean, even in the late 80s, we had Miami Vice, so we had pastel colors. Oh, there we go. You know, Raymond's mom in the front row really doesn't seem impressed with this match. I guess. Yeah, but I mean, you know, the crowd is up and you can just sort of, okay, the enthusiasm is good. It can probably only go down from here. Yeah, we're at the Omni in Atlanta, and I think Jim Ross just mentioned that we're coming up on the 60th anniversary of the movie Gone with the Wind, or 50th anniversary, something like that.
Yeah, that's the Turner connection for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, nope. Yeah. Hey. Is that Sapphire? No, that's the wrong promotion. Drag this time. All right. Oh, there we go. And down goes Luger. Yep. Come on, Sting, please. Please get back in the ring. Come on, Sting.
Yeah, that's another thing you don't see in the crowd much. It shows anymore is older ladies.
Oh, yeah, in the front row.
Those used to be the ones that were the most fun to watch at shows.
Right. Most enthusiastic, yes.
The most likely fans to take a swing at someone.
Right. Up. Oh. Okay, that's another two count. Yeah. Oh, Luger begging off, which he didn't, yeah. Which I guess he's glad to do that again. He didn't get to do that much as a babyface. Oh, and there we go. Oh, nope. Okay, up. Oh, Luger's too smart, yep.
The left one don't get you, the right one will.
It's a slightly goofier Luger after being this, you know, after playing it so straight as a babyface. But he seems to be enjoying himself. Okay. Well, there's somebody with a, there's some of those, there's a lady in the front row on the one side, looks like she's wearing a cocktail dress, you know. Unless you have all the people who showed up straight from work. I guess the city of Atlanta did not declare it Starcade Day. I don't know. Oh, thank you. Oh, Tank. Hi, Tank is here. Hello, Tank. Kitty cat. Yes. He's very excited. You know, I like how the green and Stinger on Sting's outfit matches the green on Luger's trunks. They color coordinated for the occasion.
What's that, too?
Yeah, I mean, okay, that guy yawning doesn't do much, but, you know. Yeah, I like the fans dressing up and giving it a sense of occasion. It's not exactly wrestling at the Chase, but, you know, it's nice. Okay. All right, so because Luger and Sting is taking place now, the next singles match will be Flair and Muda, and I also know this because I, you know, looked in advance, but yeah. So they sort of kept it. They sort of kept it this way, where, you know, matches are in groups of two here. Nobody has to work three matches, you know, like back to back. I think the tag portion does not work that way, as we'll see in a bit. And I'm informing Tank Kitty that, no, he cannot have my lunch. Silly kitty. All right. He's got Sting. And, okay. Hold on just a moment here. That's not what I wanted at all. I don't think I'm going to like, okay. Okay, good. All right. There we go. Sorry. Sorry, Brett. Okay. Here we go. Luger's got Sting and Trip up. Now, you'd think he'd be setting up for the torture rack.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, especially with the shorter time limit.
Yeah, when you know you've got three matches, try to get this done as quick as you can.
You would think. I'm also not sure why they need to route these fans walking into the arena past the front row on the hard camera side. I'm still trying to figure that out. But they do.
You can almost hear them going, pardon me, pardon me, pardon me,
excuse me, pardon,
pardon
me.
Me,
pardon me, excuse me.
Excuse me, pardon me. Oops, sorry, that was your drink.
Yep. Excuse me, pardon me. Okay. Luger. All right, Luger getting him back in. Luger looking to finish him off. Ha, ha, ha. There we go.
Took the long way around.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no rush. Yeah. You also have waiting for Sting to get over to this side of the ring if you're on the second turnbuckle on the inside like that. Well, fortunately Sting did that. And two.
But I hooked the leg. That should have been a three.
And apparently, also late in 89, Jim Herd was suggesting, hey, you know, why don't, if you want to get the title on Sting, why don't you lose to Rick? Why don't you lose to Lex Luger, then have Lex Luger lose to Sting? And Ric Flair, but Ric Flair had already decided, oh, I'm gonna turn back heel. So don't worry about it. We'll get the title on Sting. Oh, okay. Three minutes left? Wow, that was a pretty quick 12 minutes. I don't think they're being exactly accurate on the time, though, so. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you can't get away with that anymore because people keep track of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Ring of Honor had a guy with a stopwatch at ringside in the front row, which they use as a gimmick a couple times, you know.
I had that happen one time where I was calling the times and they rushed into the finish. So after I called like 3 minutes remaining, suddenly they went to the finish and it was 60 seconds. And I heard somebody in the crowd go, oh, BS.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that anymore. And they're like, oh, come on. It's wrestling. You know, that annoyed me very much. Yes. Especially if I'm trying to run a show, which thank God I haven't done in a long, long time. That's only wrestling, you know, excuse never really worked.
Right.
And it shouldn't work when you're one of the two major wrestling companies in America, like WCW was at the time. It's like, no, at this level, that's exactly the sort of detail work we should be good at. Okay, there we go. Oh, no. Luger's in real trouble here. Unless he moves. Oh, no. No, he wasn't. Very good. Instead
like,
of diving
we're not
on
gonna
him,
do that, then.
He stops and goes to the choke. Yeah. And like, no, I don't like that. It's like, no, I don't feel like diving through the ropes this early in the night. Oh, and Luger goes to the floor. I don't know, 1 minute? And yeah, Terry Funk saying, well, Lex is playing for the draw here, since he knows he's not going to win. Okay, oops. I don't know. Okay, he says, okay, here we go. They're on the apron. What could... Uh-oh.
Oh. Oof.
They're counting them both.
That's...
Come on, you got to get back in.
There
thanks, you thanks, go. Thanks, Patrick, for the assist there. Oh, Luger grabbed the ropes, and Luger pinned Sting.
That
20 points for Lex
ugliest
Luger.
Three count I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty brutal. Is that Jason Hervey? I don't know, I'm sorry. Okay, maybe he's a little young for Jason. Yeah. All right, so Lex Luger jumps out to the early lead. Poor Sting. All right. And Jim
I'm
Ross
pretty
even
sure
has a
Sting just said that was effing horrible.
Well, he's not wrong.
No, I mean, he's 100% right.
Yeah, that is exactly it. For all you lip readers in the audience, yes. He had his foot and his arm on the ropes. Well, I applaud the thoroughness, I guess, but. Okay, oh, well, we have the board here. There we go. Okay, good job, folks.
The high-tech leaderboard.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so now we have the second tag team match here. Oh, and Doom's back out for their second match of the night. The order of matches is determined by draw, according to Jim Ross. And here they are, Paul Ellering and the Road Warriors. All right, so getting to see the Road Warriors for the first time, even though they're facing a team that just
has already, has already been out here.
Yeah. It's still the Road Warriors. Oh, those are some lovely shin guards. There we go.
I really should have put Velcro on these.
Yep. No kidding. All right. Yeah. Yep. That one camera guy found her again. LOD. There we go.
This woman's going, I manage Doom. The Road Warriors are the Legion of Doom.
Right.
Do they work for me?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a stumper. Okay. And Cornette with the line of the night. Is that girl on the scoreboard, is that your daughter? No, Jim, it's not my daughter. Well, I heard you calling her baby earlier. Because Cornette can't help but being Cornette. Yep. So Cornette ever the fashionista points out that women change dresses.
I always appreciated that in tournaments or anything like
this.
The
extra effort is nice. Yes.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gear change is appreciated.
Yes, it is. Here we go. Up. Hot tag. Here comes Hawk. Well, here we go. All right. Yeah. Okay, so not going to get much heat on the Road Warriors here. Just get the feeling. Uh-oh. Nope. All right.
You're not going to sell, I'll make you sell.
Yep. Somebody's got to sell. Well,
the new team of Hawk and Ron Simmons, or as we like to call them, Well Damn.
Yep. That would have been a hell of a deal. Oh, there we go. Oh, well. Yes, they are telling a story here. I'm just not sure it's a story that's worth, you know, spending your entire pay-per-view money on a Wednesday night. Okay. All right, 5 minutes gone by.
That has to be shaved time.
Yeah.
There's no way that was 5 minutes already.
Well, they do have to get out. They do have to get all their stuff in. Okay, and up. Oh, an illegal double team. Mike Adkins needs to jump over all over that, and he hasn't. Oh. All right. That was the. He got some air on that one. Nice work by Hawk.
For a guy that size, you could always get good air on a drop kick.
Yep. Oh no, and Hawk's in trouble out on the floor. Okay. So I'm kind of curious, did they sell official WCW track suits? And if so, why not?
It seems like that would have been something for the time.
Yeah. Yep, so the Cornette goes with, oh, it's Bill After. He always wears a red sweater on pay-per-view so people will notice him. Very nice.
Hey, whatever works.
Yep, hey. All right, there we go. Hawk's getting worked over. Oh, look, we're going to get some leverage here. Oh, my goodness. The extra leverage that woman's providing by holding those wrestling boots in place.
Yeah, massaging his feet.
Mm-hmm. So it also serves a dual purpose.
Now a woman's happy.
Yeah, of course. Her team's looking good. Obviously, it'll be next week's episode before we get a look at the new Wild Samoans. It's kind of a weird Starcade, though, for the time. You know, no Midnight Express, no Freebirds, no. Let's see, what other? Who else do you feel like should be on a pay per view in this era? No Brian Pillman.
As I say, I'm trying to think who was around in the fall of '89.
Let's see.
See, Wyndham wasn't back yet.
No, he's not back. I was supposed to say no Z-Man. No, that doesn't really count. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, I guess that sort of makes the point for them is that, you know, they've got their main guys on the show. Yes. Nope. But it would be kind of a big. What? Are there 10? Did you just say 10 minutes gone by? Wow. So obviously it. Obviously, if Doom can get some points back in this match, they'll, you know, especially with just having wrestled once, they'll be in pretty good shape. Come on, Doom. Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. Well, let's see. Well, it's weird. I guess it's weird to have a pay-per-view without Mike Rotunda on it.
Yeah, no. Arn and Oli were back already, so
they're back, but they're not officially back. So you wouldn't expect them here. About 4 minutes left. Animals cleaning house. So we're getting near the finish. You would think. I mean, after Animal gets the hot tag, usually it's time to wrap it up. Nope. Okay. Oh, there we go. Oh. And Doom couldn't make, they couldn't make the save in time. Wow.
Just a split second off.
Oh, well. So the Road Warriors have 20 and they've taken the lead.
Woman didn't seem as upset about this loss as she did the first one.
Well, the Steiner brothers are the hated enemy, though. So that part, I guess, makes some sense. Damn. Get Get out of the way, ref. Get out of the way. Yeah. Okay, well, we don't have time between matches. This will be our final match of this episode here, the fourth match overall. Then we'll do four next week and four the week after that. Let's wrap up the final Wayback Playback match of 2020. And hooray for the end of 2020. Here he is, the undefeated television champion, the Great Muta, with Gary Hart. And Muta is over.
It's a nice touch having the scoreboards up in the...
Yeah, I noticed that. That is a nice touch. There. You would think that just for visual alone, they'd put the camera on that scoreboard instead of the, you know, instead of the dry erase special they have over there. Oh, there's Arn Anole. And we actually get Flair's music. I guess that was one thing WWE couldn't copyright, huh? Okay.
Why is Santa Claus at ringside? Oh, it's Norm.
Norman, yes. Hi, Norman. Mike Shaw. Yeah. All right, Ric Flair in the pink. No, that's not an inside reference. He's wearing pink trunks. He's tan? Yeah, he looks, yeah. Looks great. Of course, there's people in the, you know, there's people in the insider wrestling press talking about how old Ric Flair is getting. Yeah, what is he? Hold on. Is he 39? That sounds right. Something like that.
You know, it's just crazy to think how that was considered old then.
It was.
So many now that are in their prime at that age.
Yes. Well, what happened is Vince McMahon got old. I was like, well, being old isn't so bad. Okay. So yeah, Mood is undefeated. Flair is the champion. They've done a bunch of matches at house shows, but, you know, Muta hasn't lost on television yet. Yep. Okay. Now I take. Yeah. No. Ric Flair's 40 at this point. I mean, in tremendous condition, obviously, but 40.
And Muta's still active. He's in his 50s now.
Yeah.
I just saw him last year at WrestleCade in Winston-Salem.
Yep. Well, we'll need WrestleCade back. Okay. Oh, no, he's got the figure four on.
It's not going to waste any time.
Nope. Oh, here they come. The Buzzsaw and the Dragon Master of Gary Hart stable, and they're being picked up by Ole and Arn. Oh, no. Gary Hart got on the apron. You hate to see it. Oh, no. He's going for the moonsault. Yeah, Muta is 26 at this point. Oh, Flair gets the knees up. And that is officially Muta's first pinfall loss, at least on TV. And it's a quick pinfall loss, too. 20 points for Flair, 20 points for Luger. They are tied. Wow. And Jim Ross is going nuts because Ric Flair is the first man to pin the Great Muta. At least in the NWA. And there we go.
All right, that's two-minute loss to Ric Flair. I can see why things fell apart between the NWA and New Japan.
Yep. All right, here we go. Is that Missy Hyatt?
No, I don't think close. So.
It's a close, yeah. All women had that hair in 1989. All right, we're going to have to pause it right here because we're getting in the next set of matches. We are pausing at 52 minutes and 19 seconds. And yes, those are the Steiner brothers coming out. And yes, that match coming up, the Steiner Brothers and the Road Warriors, that will happen. That will happen when we return next week on this very program in 2021.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. And of course, as we say around here, Brett, I want to thank you for being here. Tell us, first of all, how people can follow you on social media, and secondly, which promotions you're involved with and expected to be involved with here coming up.
All right, I'm easy to find. It's Brett Wolverton, BRETTWOLVERTON on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Tend to post a lot of stuff on Instagram and Facebook more often, but I'm on all of those. I return to the ring January 16th for the X16 in Rock Hill, South Carolina with Premier Wrestling Experience.
Yay!
We've got the X16 tournament this year. We're doing it in two stages in the same day. In the past, we've always done it the opening round one day and the quarter, semi, and final rounds the next. But this year, we're doing it all in one day. So the afternoon opening round starts, I believe, at 2 o'clock. And then we return at 7 o'clock for the remainder of the show.
Okay. Good lineup?
Yeah, good lineup here. I probably should have had this with me, but I know among the first round, we've got Anthony Henry and Drew Adler. Ethan Case goes for his second X16. He was the first X16 tournament winner. He hopes to be the first to hit it twice. So it's going to be a good show. I know we're looking for it. We've got Timmy Lou Retton and ACH.
Wow.
Chip Day and Mason Miles. I should have had these all in front of me.
But it's okay. They can probably find out on your social media here coming up.
Yep. I should have the X16 Event Center posted here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Well, next week or so. Just waiting for some more information before I get that posted. But if you check this out, Old School Championship Wrestling returns in February in Anaheim, South Carolina. Yes. We just had our final show of the year last weekend. Even with the social distancing, we still had a great crowd that was very vocal. They were glad to see OSCW return. We hadn't had a show since February,
right?
Because of the pandemic. So we were very happy to be back.
Yes. I just figured this out. Some indie group is going to have a convention next year called the Fandemic.
Yes. Good call.
Yes. All right. I should trademark that now. Well, anyway. All right. Of course, Brett is at Brett Wilberton. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley, and he is actually posting on social media. So everybody can please chat him up, hit him up. Leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for this program on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. And if you'd like to know more about Ron Simmons, Butch Reed, Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, or Nitron, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app, because they're still all in books. Brett, your line.
All right. We will be back next week. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, and thank you for your support throughout 2020. Patreon.com/waybackplayback. GoFundMe, /F/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. Jim's, it's over 67,000, and for as long as he's been in the hospital, he's going to need, he and Carrie are probably going to need more than that. Anyway, thank you all, and I hope you, this coming year goes better than 2020 has gone. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.